Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good morning. Good afternoon, good evening, good day, good middle of the night, wherever you are, whatever time of day it is. Thanks for popping in on the No BS Bishop. I'm Alive to Love. All lesser values are potential BS. I'm so grateful that you come here, even occasionally. Hopefully some of you are coming routinely, but I pray, I hope, I dream that you are not being routine and listening, that you are tuning in, that you're dialing up the whole idea of love. Love is the one high value. It is the one baseline value. It is the one value of life that guarantees that you're not just BSing people. You're not just out there trying to schmooze and fool folks into thinking that you're authentic. Love will keep you authentic. Love will keep you so focused and so direct about life and challenges. Love will conquer mountains. Love will conquer challenges. Love will conquer stressors. And in fact, love will dial down your stress. That's what we're going to talk today about. So thank you for being here today. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. As my wife said in the introduction, I'm grateful. I am honored that you have chosen to give me about a half an hour of your time. What I try to do here is to invite you into my pastoral study, my counseling room, my office, the place where you can find a little bit of knowledge that'll help you be inspired, that'll give you inspiration, that'll cause you to say, all right, I'm going to try my life a different way. I'm going to go a different direction at it. I've been in ministry for nearly 50 years. I've been in life for 68 years, so I think that's more important. But yeah, you can do the math there. I've been in some form of ministry since I was about 18, 19 years of age, and I treasure my years of experience. I treasure my failures. I treasure my successes. I treasure the highs and I treasure the lows because they have every day has taught me something that I can pass on to others. And that I count as a real honor, that anyone would seek my counsel, and multitudes have. It blows me away that a guy that could make so many mistakes in life would still be looked to as somebody who can give you counsel. So that's me. That's me. Yeah, you thought maybe I was just 100% successful at everything. No, I'm not. I'm not at all. In fact, Michael Jordan said you're going to miss 100% of the shots you don't take, and most of the shots that he took were missed, but he hit enough of them, and he hit enough of them skillfully that he became one of the best basketball players ever. Babe Ruth struck out more than he hit home runs. So you might say, well, gosh, that guy's just a loser. No, he's one of the all-time baseball heroes, Babe Ruth. In fact, his name is synonymous with greatness in baseball. My point is, success at everything, every day, is just not possible. But it's also possible to take every strikeout, every missed shot, and learn there's a better way to do it. There's a better way to come at life. There's a better way to structure your footing, your stance, your meditation, your thoughts. So today, I want to invite you into my pastor study, and I want to talk to you about the holy solitude of love. The holy solitude of love. It may sound contradictory that love needs solitude. Love needs to be alone. Love must have loneliness in order for it to truly grow, to genuinely blossom. Let me explain why. If you are capable of being alone, even for some stretch of time, if you're capable of being alone and to sustain an internal world, a life inside of you that is honest and forthright, and that you can sustain that life inside of you with a goal that my thoughts are not going to be aimed at criticizing others or judging other people or slam dunking somebody's argument because here I am alone and I can win every argument, right? But that you could be alone and love, and that love will dominate your internal reality. I've often said, your internal reality is destined to become your external reality. What lives large in you will live large around you. So managing what's happening in you, what's inside of me, what's cooking in my oven, is going to determine what's going to come out on the other side. Am I going to have a delicious platter full of cookies, or am I just going to have a bunch of little ugly charcoals that I've cooked and destroyed because I've had such a heat of hate, the heat, internal heat of criticism, the internal heat of judging others and not managing my thoughts toward the highest value of life, love. Love alone is credible. Love alone lives the largest in any room. Love will dominate any circumference of human gatherings. You look for the lovers in any room, and I guarantee you, you'll find the leaders. Now, I'm not talking about people who are posing as leaders. Now, there's a bunch of those, and they're loud. And one of the reasons people get loud is that they violate the very principle I'm going to talk to you about today, and that is they don't know how to enjoy and cultivate the holy solitude of love. So let's talk about that. I heard a story years ago that really burned an image in my mind about a man who was in denial about his alcoholism, and he blew up his marriage, his children disowned him, and he lost one job after another, but he made a pretty good living. He was industrious enough that he was able to amount a good amount of life in terms of money. So he decided, you know, I'm through with bosses and spouses and sons and daughters and cousins and aunts and uncles. I'm done. All you people, you're just driving me crazy. I'm going to go buy myself a sailboat, and I'm going to get out on the ocean blue, and I'm going to find my peace, my serenity. I'm going to get out there away from people are my problem. I'm sick of people. So I got a boat, and he went out in the ocean, and he was alone for some time. Until one day he came to himself and realized, I am more miserable out here on this ocean alone without a soul to bother me. I'm more miserable now than ever before. And what he determined was, and what the conclusion he came to was, that no matter where you go, there you are. That's profound. Think about it. If you're unhappy alone, then it's not about your boss or your spouse or your sons or your daughters. It's not about the people that have been annoying you. And yeah, I get it. People can be annoying. That's the nature of some of our human mix. But when you're alone and you're miserable, when you're alone and you're angry, when you're alone, there you are. And when you're alone and love is not dominating your circumference, remember the object of today is to talk about the holy solitude of love. When love dominates your thinking, your meditation, your purposes, your dreams, your hopes, when you're alone, then where you are, there is love. Love that isn't only for others, but for yourself, to be able to love yourself. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. So learning to love me is incredibly woven into love for others. Being alone with me is incredibly, it's indelibly part of the human condition. I think it's pretty easy to prove that the one person we all talk to the most is ourself. We're not talking, you know, I've heard people, you know, sanctimoniously say, oh, I pray more than I communicate with other people. Okay, that sounds all good and religious, but you know what? I promise you, we're all talking to ourselves more than we talk to God or anybody else. There's a consistent, constant solitude of conversation going on in your head. Even when you sleep, yeah, you know, your dreams are talking to you. Don't ever interpret your dreams as some mystical interpretation of what other people are. You're listening to your own internal dialogue. The solitude of love teaches you wherever you go, there you are. Are you happy? Well, if you're happy and you're alone, I promise you at the base of your stance there, you're loving. You're loving yourself, and every thought you have of others is at some level at least aimed at love. Now, I know there's some others out there that, you know, it's tough to love. Yeah, but that's where love really grows, is when you can love when people are annoying and when people are crabby and people are critical and judgmental of you, to still love when you're alone. That's where the holy solitude of love takes root. Because, you know, there is just one person you're always going to be with. One person from the split second you have any sentient consciousness of life. There's one person you are going to be with all your life, right? That's you. You're going to be with you every day, all day. You're going to sleep with you. You're going to eat with you. You're going to go driving with you. You're going to go shopping with you. You're going to go working with you. You and you and you and you and you are just you together. There's a Me, Myself, and I. There's a movie out, Jim Carrey. Oh, what a brilliant portrayal of a guy with multiple personalities, that where he went from, you know, just being a normal everyday guy to a, you know, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You are going to be with you all your life. And then in being with you, you have got to come to terms with you through love. Love alone is credible. Don't BS yourself. Remember, this broadcast is Alive to Love. All lesser values than love become easily BS. Don't BS yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Be true to yourself. And in being true to yourself and with yourself, recognize that every day of your life, there is a conversation you're having with you, and in that conversation, you're either building yourself up or you're tearing yourself down. You're either allowing yourself to be wrapped up and tied up in anxiety and hurt, or you're going to be wrapped up and tied up in the magnificence of love. Love alone is credible. There is no other human value greater than, higher than, more powerful than love. I'm concerned. I'm American through and through. And in fact, you know, my mother being a Native American gives me just a little leg up, I think, on most Americans. My mama's kin, her great 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 grandparents were here before the folks landed at Plymouth Rock. So I consider myself a proud American. But as an American, I have concerns that we have become so industrialized, so productivity-minded, so do-minded, that instead of being human beings, we're human doings. We're doing more than we're being. We're losing touch in an age where we're not necessarily the industrial age. This is the technology age, the information age. I'm concerned that we are doing more than we are being, and in fact, in our being, we're kind of lost. How to just be? How to be alone? Many spiritual retreats invite people to a phoneless, computerless, medialess, speechless weekend, or even a week long. Don't speak. If you're spoken to, don't answer. Don't use your phone. Don't use your computer. Don't look at a TV screen. Go on a fast for a week. I've done this in a smaller sense. It wasn't a silent retreat, but it was a week-long retreat. No, it was 5 days, almost a week. A couple times where there was no phone, no computer, no TV, no outside artificial influence, where we just had to be and not do. I found both of those 5 days to be cleansing for my inner world. My inner world had been so cluttered, so, oh my goodness. You know, I'm not a hoarder. You know, I don't hoard things, but I could almost see myself becoming a hoarder. I mean, physically, it's hard for me to throw things away that have any kind of memory to me at all. But listen, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, a whole lot of us are hoarders. We're holding on to things that we clutter up our internal dialogue. We clutter up our inner world with. And I'm inviting you today. I started this by saying, let's talk about the holy solitude of love. Let's be and not just do. And remember, you know, silence. Wow, silence can speak louder than words if silence is rooted in love. Silence can speak louder than words if silence has a taproot and a saturation of love. To be silent is to offer the opportunity of love building a vocabulary that's beyond words. Again, we're talking about having a holy solitude of love. Silence, sometimes, calm and silence and simply holding your words can create for you the opportunity to create space for love. It's like spring cleaning for your mind and your soul. Silence, you know, especially when you hear something that you just want to shout back. Oh my gosh, I have the idea. I have the solution. I know more about that than you know. Silence is absolutely golden. Many times, Jesus was silent in the face of his critics. When he was asked, you know, are you the Son of God? Are you the King of Israel? He remained silent when he had the answer. If there was ever one human with all truth embodied inside of him, it was Jesus. Every hair follicle, every toenail, everything in him was truth. Not a touch of a lie lived in Jesus. And yet, in the face of liars and cheaters and betrayers, he remained silent. About 4 years ago, my brother overdosed on fentanyl and a cocktail of other drugs. He was in his 70s. He's 6 years older than me. And his whole life, he had battled with addictions, which is why my whole life I've battled with codependency. And in my definition of codependency, it's living other people's lives without living my own, and to be true to myself. And that's as much an addiction as any alcohol or drug. But when my brother passed away, it was tragic and painful, and it was just awful. It was awful. And so there was nobody in the family around but me that would go to his memorial, which was on the East Coast. And so I loaded up my car with just some calm music. I took minimal amount of anything with me. And I determined I was going to take my time getting there and take my time getting back. I needed the solitude. I needed the silence. I needed, as I like to call it, windshield time. I'm here to tell you that those, I think it was about 10 days of there and back, were so healing for me. There was nobody there to counsel me, nobody there to tell me good or bad. I simply had to find the holy solitude of love. I had to find the solitude of managing all of the pain my brother and I had grown up with, all of the his addiction cycles that had intruded on so many lives, you know, up to and including his last wife, which was number five in his life. So his life was a train wreck, ending in a human wreck. But you know, I came to terms with my love for him. I really did. I have to say, those near 2 weeks of being alone, going to the memorial service and back, I came to terms and was able to say in my journal and at his service, I was the only family member there, I was able to say, Rick, I love you. And I meant it. It came from something down deep inside of me. It wasn't forced, and it wasn't a script. It was real. I could say, I love you, Rick. And in that, I came to a triumph in my own heart, a triumph of love, the triumph of the holy solitude of love. I needed the silence. I had, you know, I had a generous offer from somebody who wanted to be my driver. Go ahead and pack up your stuff, and Pastor, I'll drive for you. I'll take you there and I'll be your bodyguard. I'll be your driver. Whatever you need, I'll take care of it. And I, you know, that was really sweet, and it was very loving, but I didn't need that. I didn't need somebody to keep me talked into a shallow understanding of what had just happened. I needed the holy solitude of love. Now, I want to be quick to say, not all our solitude is holy. Not all of our being alone can lead us to the right answers. We are going to need some railings. Our river of internal meditation is going to need some shorelines. We will need some railroad tracks for the train to ride on. You need to understand that. I'm not encouraging solitude as a lifestyle. I'm encouraging a holy solitude of love that can build a lifestyle with others that is productive and beautiful and simple. So the silence I needed for those two weeks brought me to an understanding of how I could love even in that tragedy, and how that love would always be my best answer to all things. And in this last moments here, I want to discuss one thing with you one more time. Love alone will always grow into love abundant. I've discussed that in a multitude of ways with you on this radio broadcast, but I want to say it in this way, in this context of the holy solitude of love. Love alone, and I mean by yourself, will never stay alone. Love alone always grows into love abundant. You see, love is, as Mother Teresa said, I'll say it for the 10,000th time, there's more hunger for love in this world than there is for bread. And as such, if you grow love alone, you will feed multitudes. There will be scores of people drawn to you like moths to the flame. You will create an ever-increasing circumference of connections if you can love alone. Now, that means self-love, but it also means a meditation of love toward others, a meditation that always surrounds your contemplations of others. It surrounds that contemplation with some sense of love. So we've talked here today about wherever you go, there you are, that you're going to be the one person you'll always live with, that we must aim at being human beings, not human doings. Knowing that silence can speak louder than our words if that silence is soaked in love. And love alone, knowing that love alone will always grow into love abundant. People are starving, thirsty, like an animal in the middle of a droughted desert, a desert that hasn't seen a drop of rain in 100 years, and an animal trapped out there looking for a drink. Listen. Most of humanity is living in that condition where there are some who've just not encountered authentic, powerful, sincere love. I'm challenging you here week in and week out to be alive to love, to hold love as the highest value of life, if not the only value. Everything else, every other value can grow out of love. But understanding that if we don't have love, we create a world of BS. We create a world of denial. We create a world that where we convince ourselves of things that are just not true. Love creates an abundant, beautiful world internally. And when you create a beautiful world internally, then a beautiful world externally is awaiting you. Well, we close every No BS Bishop Alive to Love broadcast with two exercises. Number one, I want you to breathe. You know, that's one thing you're going to have to do your whole life all alone. So train yourself to breathe well. On the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath you've had all day long. Pull it down to the bottom of your lungs and hold it. One, two, three. Inhale. Push it all the way down. Hold it and exhale. One more time on the count of three. One, two, three. Breathe deep. Hold it there. And exhale. That's just an exercise. You've got to learn and teach yourself how to do that consistently through every day. Find yourself when you're alone. Find the holy solitude of love and love for yourself that says, wait a minute, I've been breathing too shallow. I've been breathing fast. I'm under stress. I'm under pressure. I got to breathe deep and exhale with gratitude. All right? Do that, please. Do yourself that favor. Give yourself the gift of good breathing every day. And last but not least, here's something that I'm becoming very well known for, and that is making it weird, making it strange, making it awkward. Find somebody, look them right in the eye. You'll make them nervous, but do it with some credibility. I'm not saying to be strange about it. I am saying that there will be an awkwardness if you look somebody in the eye and say the three most charmed, magical words in human existence, and they are these: I love you. Right in the eye, right there, eye contact that isn't broken. It's hard, especially if we're used to feeling like we've got to measure our love or keep our love in some kind of little teacup. No, get yourself the biggest barrel of understanding love and fill it up with love and look somebody in the eye and say, I love you. It's life-changing. It's paradigm-shifting. I see people almost every day that I have encountered that who have done this, and they've come back and they've said, my goodness, it's so life-changing. It is relationship-changing. And in fact, if nothing else, it kind of shatters some of our shallow living. It's kind of like shallow breathing. Sometimes we're shallow loving. So don't do that. Let's go out there in this world and let's be people of love. And let's go out there and do something beautiful. Today, do something beautiful. Why? Because, oh, baby, ugly, ugly, ugly has been done to death quite literally. And it's time, it's past time for people who enjoy the solitude of love to arise and shine with love in their voice, but love, more importantly, on their whole internal world. Thanks for being here today. I'm Randy Dean. I'm the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values I have discovered can devolve into BS. Let's arise to the beauty of love.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.